If you have your Bible, turn to keep going a few more pages to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to talk about it in just a few minutes as we focus our attention on the fact that God is our protector. He is the one who is there for us again and again to meet us. And I want to start with some verses in the Psalms. Psalm 20, verse 1 says, "May the Lord answer you on a day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you." Psalm 34:19. Psalm 34:19 says, "The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord rescues him from them all." That's Psalm 34:19. Psalm 46:1, you may be familiar with this. Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." That's who God is. He wants to be that for each and every one of us, no matter what we're going through. Psalm 141, verse 8, "For my eyes are towards you, God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave me defenseless." God Himself is going to be our protector, our defender, the one who watches out for us. Jehovah Nissi is a name that they used in the Old Testament for God. And the reason why this says the Lord is my banner, but the idea was the Lord is the one who watches over me, who protects me, who goes before me. As you know, many times in the battles that we read about of the Israelites, God Himself promised them to go before them. He would be there to clear the way, to clear the path, so to speak. And sometimes they wouldn't have to do anything. You remember the Battle of Jericho? All they had to do was blow the trumpets, and God made the walls fall down by His grace. So, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to read some verses here in Psalm 43, starting with verse 1. It says, "But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine." Imagine God saying that. "When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place, since you are precious." Man, I don't know about you, but I underline that word in my Bible. "Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored." And then he says, "I love you. I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for you." That concept of ransom. "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. That is a very powerful section of Scripture because of what is there. It'd be worth memorizing. As we walk through difficult times, the presence of God is the one who goes with us. That's so very important. So as we look at this passage, I want to just talk about two things. The first one is this. Why does God protect us? Why does God protect us? Well, He's committed to us. It's the first point I want you to focus on. He's committed to us. What was God saying when He said, but now I say to you, O Jacob, your creator. You know, in the day we're living in, there used to be a time when we felt like God was our creator. But then came along the theory of evolution. Not the facts of evolution, but the theory of evolution. And people begin to believe that reality. And what does that do when you believe that? You're not special. You're not unique. You're not precious before your Creator. But God Himself wants to remind His people that He created them. He formed them. He says here, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, why is this so important? Well, there's two words in here. When He says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, that is a past tense imperative. Perfect tense. Still can't. Yeah, that's right. I was having to think about it in my mind. A perfect tense imperative. What does that mean in Hebrew? That means God has already done this. He's waiting on us to respond to Him. God has spoken redemption through a covenant with His people. God has promised to redeem us if we will simply believe. And if that was true then, how much more true is it now, knowing what Jesus has done for us? The fact that He has redeemed us by His grace and by His mercy. He also talks about the fact that He called us. He called us. And once again, that's a perfect imperative, which means it's completed action. If you could think of it as something that has happened in the past, a dot that has happened in the past, and what does it have? It has long-term consequences. Something that God has done, and then He wants that to impact our life in the future. He has called us. When we think about the idea of God being our Creator, yesterday, Karis Parks, she's back there. She's right back there by on the back row. She turned 21. Now, the rest of the story is this. The first time I got involved with Glenn was in a prayer meeting with a group of guys. And Glenn came and shared with us that they were wanting a child, but the doctors told them that they couldn't. And we began praying that God would give them a child. And Karis, 21 years old, is here today as an example of the work of God as our Creator. He has done so much for us in giving us the opportunity to live, to experience, to have the joy of His work of grace in our life. He has created us. He's the one who has redeemed us. Now, that's important because the children of Israel had walked with the Lord. You remember how they started at coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land? They had a lot of challenges, but what? God proved Himself faithful to them. And then they turned away from Him. And they followed their own paths and they did their own thing. And God is saying now, so many years after that fact, I have redeemed you. Look at what Isaiah says in his prophecy in chapter 44. It's just a little over. Says in chapter 44, verse 6, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it?" He has promised to watch over us. He promised Israel He was going to watch over them and protect them. And my friend, today, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He has forgiven us. He has given us the ability to walk in His righteousness with the blessing that He has upon our life. And then the last thing here is that He called us. The reason why that is so important, other than the verbiage that was used there, is the reality that God was reaching out to us before we reached out to Him. God was proclaiming who you are as a son or daughter of God before you even accepted that reality. He was doing a work of drawing us to Himself so that we could experience everything He has for us. In Ephesians 2:4, it says this, if you want to go to a New Testament passage that declares this reality. But God, Ephesians 2:4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us." Now, if you go to the first part of Ephesians chapter 2, you're reminded you are dead in your trespasses and sin. But then you come to this verse, just moments later, and you have that reality of, but God. God, in His grace and mercy, has given us the opportunity to come unto Himself by calling us, drawing us to Himself. Are you asking God to protect you? He has already promised in His Word, many places throughout His Word, that He is going to protect us. And what we looked at here in these verses, that reality of He created us, He redeemed us, He called us, it is proof that God Himself is committing to us. He's committing to us. Now, this isn't just a human doing this. It is the God who created the universe, who sustains it even today. He is the God who is working and continues to do so because He's committed to you, to me. Are you asking God to protect your family? Are you asking God to protect you from toxic relationships? Are you asking God to protect you from worldly schemes that are out there that can lead us astray? God is committed to us. But deliverance is not always an automatic thing. Sometimes, as we talked about last week, sometimes God provides for us, protects us by delivering us from something. And sometimes God protects us, provides for us, delivers us by carrying us through something. It's a big difference in those two. In one, you don't really have anything to go through, but in the second one, you have things to go through. But God has promised what? He is going to be with us. That's what He says in His Word. He is going to be with us in the midst of those things. The second thing I want you to see here is a reality that He values us. Not only is God committed to us as believers in Jesus Christ, New Testament concept, but He values us. And that's one thing I think is important for us to look at in light of what we know about how many times the children of Israel strayed. Yet God valued them. And how does He demonstrate that? Well, in verse 4, He tells them how valuable they are because He says, since you are precious in My sight. Well, that may not speak to us guys, but I know to you ladies it does. God values you so much. He considers you precious, significant. He is willing to put great value on who you are. Now, you're not living in a world that values you, are you? Doesn't value any of us unless we have something to give. Then all of a sudden we become very valuable. We become very important. But most of the time, we aren't considered significant, precious, valuable. But here is a passage of Scripture where God says, you are precious to Me. He doesn't say, you're just precious. He says, to Me, I value who you are. I value you as My creation. that I have made and I have formed. And God has a purpose for our life. A lot of times we just feel like, or I don't know if you do, but sometimes I feel like, man, am I just going through the motions? Am I just doing what's necessary to stay alive? The reality is, God considers you precious. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to hear your prayers, my prayers. He wants to be the God who we look to when we face a struggle in life, when we wonder, is there any pathway for deliverance through this problem or difficulty that I'm going through? God wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to look to Him, cry out to Him. He's not offended by that. He is honored. So He says, we are precious. And the second word He uses here is the word honored. Imagine God honoring you. Can you think of what it would be like when you were sitting there at the supper, a man that you'd spent 3 years with comes and takes the place of a slave and washes your feet. Man, what a example of servanthood Jesus lived. But really what Jesus was saying, not only was He serving them and wanting them to follow His example, but He was saying, you are precious. You're valuable. You're worthy of honor for who you are. But then, if you ever wonder this, since you are honored and I love you. You know, they tell us one of the things men many times struggle with is the reality that God loves them. If you are here today, I want you to hear this reality. You don't think about your past. Don't listen to your flesh. Don't listen to the evil one. But think of this. God said to you, I love you. How did He say that to us? Well, it says, simple verse of Scripture, many people have memorized, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave Himself, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What was God doing? God was giving us protection from our greatest enemy. He was delivering us from our greatest enemy, death itself. We are now given the privilege of living life eternal because God so loved you and God so loved me. And through that, He is giving to us a blessing that cannot compare with anything else in life. He is not only the one who leads us in the right way to go. He's not only the one who provides for us in the midst of sparse and difficult times, but He is the God who protects us as we call upon Him. You know, one of the good things we can do every single day, you can just simply say, Lord, will You protect me today? Will You watch over my family? Will You watch over my friends? Will You watch over those I care about and that I love? You can do that every single day and know that because God is a God who protects us, you're praying the will of God. He may not deliver you from that event that's happening in your life right away, but He's going to deliver you through it. He's going to deliver you to the other side. And if you don't get to the other side in this life, what has God done? Jesus said to His disciples, "If I go, I prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And the reality is, we will be there for eternity, living and experiencing everything that God had planned for us. You know, a lot of times, there's a psalm that says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His godly ones." And a lot of times at a funeral, I will say to the family there, or to the people that are part of that, how can something be precious? How can death be precious to God? The reality is this: it's precious to God because it's the end of our flesh, and it's the beginning of a relationship with Him like we have never experienced before in this life. It's a precious thing to Him. You know, sometimes when people leave that we love and that we care about, we don't think that that's a precious thing because we see it as an end. But God sees this as a beginning of everything He has planned and purpose for our life. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this, John 14:21, "The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will" what? "Be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him." Romans chapter 8, verse 37 is a good promise to memorize. "But in all these things," height, depth, danger, all. You just think of the worst things you can come up with. "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." First John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice," word propitiation, "for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, how should we respond? We should love others. God watches over us and He protects us, so that we can do His work, so that we can accomplish His mission. The second thing I want us to talk about today is this idea of how does God protect us. You know, we talked about the fact that God Himself is committed to us. But how does God protect us? And that's where I want to go back to verse 2. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." Are you walking through something that's very difficult right now? If you are and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, don't miss the fact that God is there. God is present. That's what he promises. He says there, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. What example do we have of that? What illustration of that reality? The children of Israel. When God parted the sea, he went before them in the sea to lead them to the next place that they were going to go. So he protected them through that sea experience. But Pharaoh, the Egyptians that went with him, they weren't as fortunate. They didn't experience that blessing of God in their life. They were drowned by the water. God didn't protect them. He wasn't over them. But God himself, for the children of Israel, built that hedge of protection. Anything that we go through, if God is with us, we can know he is going to see us through. He says here, he kind of changes the terminology and he says, and through the rivers they will not overflow you. Now, why are they not overflowing you? Because God is protecting you. That's what we need to see in this passage. They're not burning us. We're not singed by what happens. Remember the story of the three Hebrew boys? They were told to bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And they said, no, I won't. And the king said, okay, well, you got to go into the fiery furnace. They went into the fiery furnace and they were protected by God. Matter of fact, what did it say? It looks like there's a fourth one there. And that looks like one of the gods. That looks like an image of the Son of God. He promises to be with us in that moment. You know, the thing I always like about that story is the people who put the three Hebrews in the fire, they died. But the Hebrew boys did not even have the hair on their arms scorched or singed. That is amazing how God himself created this bubble around the three Hebrew boys and took care of them, protected them, defended them from the danger that was going to go on. Same book, the book of Daniel. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. And the king came to him and said in Daniel chapter 6, he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions? And what do we know? He did. Those lions were on a fast. They didn't know what to do in the midst of this experience. But when they threw the others in, they attacked them immediately. Now, there's something that has to boggle our mind, our thinking, when we think about God protecting in that way. And do you believe God will do that today? My friend, if you are in the fire, you want to have God with you. When you're going through a struggle in your life, God is present to protect you, to watch over you, to keep you safe, to deliver you through that challenge, whatever it is. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's a financial struggle that you're going through. Maybe it's something that's happening in the business that you work for. Maybe it's an adult, your mom, your dad. They're going through dangerous situations. Well, if you speak to God about that, you are bringing to bear the most significant protection that anyone can have. Better than, you know, a life vest, life suit, those things. God Himself will be with us. I want to give you just two quick illustrations. Well, Daniel was one of them, so I only have one more. I got plenty of time. Do you remember the story of Paul going to Rome? When Paul went to Rome, he started out, he had many challenges, dangers that he was going through. When he was heading to Rome, before he had left, there was a group of people, 40 individuals, who gathered together and said, "I am not going to eat or drink until that man is dead." This story is in Acts chapter 26, 27, 28. If you read that, that's kind of where I'm going with this. And just so happened, one of Paul's relatives overheard that and overheard how they were going to do it, how they plotted, how they schemed to take Paul out. And you know what? If you continue to read this story, who was delivered? Paul was. He was delivered from the danger that was ahead of him. You remember the shipwreck when he was on a ship to go to Rome. We talked about the fact that God had provided for him and his friends. Well, as part of that shipwreck, they got to an island called Malta. And there in the island, one of the things that they did, they were welcomed and they were brought in, but they started a fire. And in that fire was a snake. And that snake bit Paul. And one of the things God did through that whole experience is God, first of all, protected Paul. God also gave him a renewed sense of favor among all of those who were there. He stood out as one because they thought the thing that they had said when he was first bit is that guy got what he deserved because he was bitten. But then they saw God working, and Paul testifies to that reality, that God Himself is working in all of these things. My friend, if you don't have a story that reminds you that God Himself is your protector, you need to ask God for it. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God to do what He says He's going to do, and that is to protect us. But guess what? We have to be willing to let God do it His way, not try to control the outcome. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and You hear someone pray, God, you just have to do this. You just have to do it this way. The reality is, that's not a prayer that God is going to answer. When we try to control the outcome, when we try to control what happens, we need to be willing and acknowledge the fact that because God loves us, He is going to do the very best for us at all times. And that means watching over us, protecting us as we cry out to Him. So if you're here today and you're going through a struggle, or you're going through a dangerous situation, or you're trying to figure out what needs to happen, don't miss the opportunity to ask God to protect you as you move forward. Ask God to protect you as you go on your way. Ask God to protect you. Seek His face for what He has already given through Jesus. Let's pray together.